1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, so that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Paul knew the importance and value of prayer. Amen. I'm interested in verse number 23, where the Scriptures tells us there, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, if you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, that every chapter begins and ends with an emphasis on the coming of the Lord. So everything that Paul is telling us we should do is in light of the coming of the Lord. Well, the verse that we read, these things are to be done in light of us leaving this world. Rejoice evermore is in light of the coming of the Lord. Pray without ceasing, likewise, and all of these admonishing truths down through here. But he's praying in verse 23 for the believers to be sanctified. He's praying that the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. That word would mean entirely. And he goes to show what he had in mind when he talked about the entire scope of sanctification. He said your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. When he said, I want... It is a complete prayer. It's a complete sanctification that we know will ultimately take place one day. So I just want to preach on this verse, if I could, for a little while on the just simple thought of the prayer for sanctification. The prayer for sanctification. Now I know that word sanctification is a big word, but it just basically has the meaning of being set apart from and set apart unto. It comes from two words meaning to be set apart from and set apart for. There is a from and there is a for. There is a from and an unto. It's not that God is just taking things out of your life, but He intends to replace it with something positive and something better. God never asks you or me to give up anything, turn from anything, that He doesn't have a replacement that is superior. He will never call you out of Egypt unless He's got a Canaan land for you. Amen. He'll never ask and sanctify you away from the garlic, leeks, and onions of the Egypt world, type of the world, the type of the old life lived in the flesh before conversion. But what He doesn't want to replace it with manna from heaven. Amen? And don't ever think for a second that sanctification is something that's against you. Don't ever get the mentality that separation is against me. God's trying to put me in a jail. God's trying to put me in a box where I can't do nothing. No, God's trying to liberate you. God's trying to set you free from yourself. God's trying to set you free from the attachments of this world, which is against God. But Paul is praying for the believers, you and I included, that we would be, that the God of peace would sanctify us. Now, the doctrine of sanctification is a lot bigger than I could deal with in one message tonight. And I'm not even going to attempt to deal with it in its entirety. But I know that in the Scripture, there's basically three aspects of sanctification, or four. One, there is personal sanctification. Well, actually, let's back it up. Number one, there's positional sanctification. That is where you just simply being a child of God, a son or daughter of God, that in itself, that position sanctifies you. There's positional sanctification. By the way, that's why I get to go to heaven. I get to go to heaven because of my position, not my practice. Say amen right there. Boy, if we had to go on our practice, we'd not make it. And God knows it. Amen. But there's positional sanctification. And that's what God does for me. He did that for me when He saved me. But then there is practical sanctification. Practical sanctification has to do with how I live. Amen? Listen to this. Positional sanctification has to do with what God did for me when He saved me. Practical sanctification is what I do for God after He saves me. Amen? Living holy is what you do for God. Amen. Living holy, listen, is what you do for God. That's good, isn't it? That's good. I think that's real good. Amen. Positional sanctification has to do with my birth. Practical sanctification has to do with my behavior. Can I say that it's important to God, my friend, not only your birth, but your behavior? Not only, my friend, you being a child of God, but God's interested in your conduct. Amen. Many times through the Scripture, y'all stay with me, many times through the Scripture when Paul would write church epistles, when he'd write the writings to the church, to the Christian, he would go through the first few chapters, like Ephesians, he'd go through the first three chapters and give, and it would be doctrinal. Then he would go finish out the last three chapters and it'd be practical. Many times Paul would go through and say, this is how you're to believe. And then he would go in and end the book with a practical application as if to say, this is what you believe and this is how you behave. He attaches how you believe, what you believe to how you behave. If you don't believe right, you can't behave right. Amen? And so there's that connection. Turn back one page to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians right quick. And we'll get back on that thought in just a minute. Look in verse number 3. If you don't think that sanctification and being set apart from something unto something is important, look what the Bible says. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Do you notice that? I mean, there's a lot of preaching in that verse. You can't read that verse without getting the idea. In fact, not just that verse. Well, let's read on a little bit. I don't think it'd be wrong to read on a little bit. Get an idea of what God had in mind when He's talking about sanctification. You abstain from fornication. And we all know what fornication is, or do we know what fornication is? I believe, and you can go in 2 Timothy 3, where it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And brother, there's some immorality listed there. You can go to Galatians 5 and look at the works of the flesh, and several of those are sexually related sins. And I believe that the churches today is going to be blemished, if not crushed, by sexual immorality inside the church. Are you listening? Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, said, abstain from fornication. That is sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage. Amen? It's a sin against God. In fact, one verse tells us that it's a sin against your body. Amen? I mean, brother, God treats it very seriously when there is that activity. Amen? And that needs to be preached in our church, because I'm going to tell you, Hollywood is preaching the opposite message. Hollywood's preaching the opposite message with their movies, and preaching the opposite message with their music and with movie stars. They just basically are promoting a sex free-for-all. Are you listening? Amen? And the pulpits have been silent about it. And I'm going to tell you, it's crept into our churches. It's brought a grievance to God. And I don't know why I'm preaching on it right now, even at that. I was just going to read the verse. Are you listening? God expects purity out of His people. Now, I don't know why His professing people gets mad when you preach about purity, but God expects purity out of His people. Amen. Amen. God says, my friend, that it's the will of God. Let me go back to Colossians. I want to finish that. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to mind the Lord. Amen. I don't feel too good physically, but I feel pretty good spiritually. The Bible says in chapter number 3, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter. Where was that at we was reading about the God of peace? I told you to turn back one page. 4. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Amen. All right, listen. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your body, in sanctification. Every one of you should know. That tells me that sanctification comes through the avenue of what you know. Amen. That's why it's important for the preacher to preach to you the truth, is so you'll know. Amen. What you know, you're accountable for. What's recorded in the Bible, you're accountable for. Amen. Every one of you, not just the preacher. Purity and holiness is not for the pulpit only. You may be just a lay member. Amen. Just a church member. You don't even hold a position. God is expecting out of you, if you're His, amen, sanctification and purity and holiness. God's people needs to know that God hates sin and sin hates God. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Do you notice that? Paul is building his argument or his approach on this truth. You're different. You are different than the Gentiles that know not God. It's as normal for sinners to sin as it is for a dog to bark, but God's people are not sinners. God's people have been saved by the grace of God. Amen? God expects us to take the high road. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get into all this. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. I wish everybody to get this next verse. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Are you listening? The call to salvation is inseparable with the call to sanctification or holiness or purity. Amen. Amen. Your attitude toward sin tells me if you're ready to get saved or not. If a sinner is, my friend, thinking about getting saved, and they say, I'm not quitting this, and I'm not turning from this, and I'm not going to repent of that, you can't get saved. Because Jesus come to save His people from their sin. I want to ask some people, sometimes they claim to be saved and they're still cussing and they're still living in sin and everything else. I want to ask them, well, what did you get saved from? God don't save people and leave them like He finds them. Amen. He's like the potter that finds the clay. The clay is in a mess when he finds it. It's full of impurities. It's full of sticks and stones and all things. But when he gets done with it, he can mold it into a vessel of honor. Amen. Boy, when he found me, I'm telling you, I was full of sin. When he found me, brother, I was on the bottom, below the bottom. In fact, he had to turn the barrel over, scrape me off the bottom. Amen. I was as low as you could get and sorry. No account and good for nothing. Oh, but thank God, when he saved me, he put a desire in me, my friend, to change. He put a desire in me to change. Amen. He put a desire in me. That, listen, I had that fellow the other night I was telling about this morning. 47 years old. And you know when he sat there, I talked to him 30, 40 minutes after the service Thursday night. He's thinking about getting saved. It's on his mind. He's under conviction. Do you know what he said to me? His name's Lynn. He said, preacher, he said, and what I could tell, boy, he was really on him to go to the altar Friday, but he didn't move. And I got to talking to him, and I thought, well, he's just a rebel, is what I thought. I thought, because I seen him shaking his head no back there. And I thought, well, is he just a rebel? He's turning his back on God. He's rejecting God right there and shaking his head. But that wasn't the case when I got to talking to him. Have to be careful how we read people. Because we can read them wrong. But you know what he said? He said, preacher, I want to know before I get saved that it's going to keep me, that I won't be going back to the honky-tonks, that I won't be going back to the bar stool and the bars and the clubs and the dance halls. And I'm talking about lost. I'm talking about unsaved. I'm talking about an unbeliever. He said, preacher, I want to know what is it about salvation that'll keep me out of the clubs. Amen, hey, Brother Brian. That's good preaching, ain't it? Hey, amen. That's right. My crowd down here won't say amen. You say amen, won't you?
Amen.
You say amen? That's right. Say, that's good preaching. There you go. Put a little bit more heart into it. That's good preaching. There you go. That's right. That's right. I'll have me an amen corner up here before it's over yet. Amen. That's right. But he said, preacher, I want to know. I want to know about salvation. What is it about salvation that's going to keep me from going back to the clubs? And I had the privilege of taking the Word of God and use the Scriptures and showing that when you get saved, God puts His nature in you. God puts His life in you. God puts His Spirit in you. And you'll start loving what He loves. And you'll hate what He hates. And hallelujah, amen. And believe me, God don't go to the clubs, amen. God don't go sit on bar stools. And God don't go to the honky-tonks, no. Oh, no, friend, amen. Amen, amen. Bible talks about a sow loving the mire. You know how to get that sow out of the mire? Put a different nature in it. If you could take that old sow nature and scoot it over the side and put a cat nature in it, a cat get his foot wet, he'll do like this. A cat can't stand to get wet, amen. It can't stand hard to walk on something wet. It is like this, amen, amen. Just put a cat nature in that old pig, amen, and that pig will start acting like a cat. Amen. See, when you get saved, my friend, you still got that old fallen, depraved nature, that old flesh nature. I'll tell you what happens. God, my friend, unhooks it, amen, and tells it you're out of control. Amen, you're out of business. You're off the throne of this individual. Move out of the way. And brother, God puts His nature in you. God puts His life and Spirit in you. And my friend, guess what? You'll start loving what He loves, amen. And you'll start being interested in purity and holiness and godliness. Amen. How you live comes out of what nature's in control. If you got a flesh nature, your old fallen, sinful human nature that loves sin and loves wickedness is in control, then you'll be pursuing worldliness and you'll be pursuing carnality. Amen. You'll want to... Amen. Amen. It'll show up in what you listen to. It'll show up in what you look at. It'll show up in the clothes you wear. It'll show up in the friends you run with. It'll show up in all that. Amen? Dog has a dog nature. Dogs run with dogs. Amen? You'll never see a dog and a deer run together. Say amen right there. The nature that's in control of your life dictates your association. Who you? Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. Brother J.R., have you ever went geese hunting? Or goose hunting, or what you want to call it? And you get to calling, you know, and here comes a big flock of crows. And then here, in the middle of the crows, there's one geese. One little old goose. No, they don't fly together. They don't even eat the same. They don't even look the same. What distinguishes them? Their nature. Amen. Amen. Sanctification is not a big issue. I tell you how simplistic it is. It is as simple. It is as simple as you simply denying yourself and letting the Spirit of God that's in you, if you're saved, let Him get in control of your life and He will produce sanctification. Sanctification is not what I do. Sanctification is not my production. It's not what I manufacture and create. Sanctification is the work and fruit of the Holy Spirit. Glory! Where's my amen button? Amen. Join the crowd, Brother Frankie. Get Miss Shelley to help you over there. Amen. Are you listening? The Bible said in John 17:17, the Lord's Prayer, here's what the Lord prayed. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. You know how you get sanctified? It's when you listen to the Word of God and read the Word of God and you bring your life into alignment of the Scriptures. That's how it happens. Amen. Amen. You want to be sanctified? Just don't reject preaching. Don't reject the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Amen. Well, There's positional sanctification and practical sanctification, and God's called us to that. Amen. There's a lot we could say about that, but let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Well, I've got good liberty tonight. Amen. That's a good sign. I was wondering about it there for a while, but I feel pretty good about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Verse number 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I want to deal with this just real quick and break it down just in about three or four areas. First of all, I want to talk about the first word of verse 23. We may not get no further. How many sees the first word? What is it? Nope. And. Do you see it? 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse number 23, and the first word of the verse is and. How many knows what and is? What is it? Close enough. And is a conjunction. I'm not an English scholar, you ought to know that by now, but I do know that. That and, my friend, is a word of conjunction that's reaching back and getting what has just been said and hooking it up with what is fixing to be said. Amen. That'll preach, I promise you. Well, if you reach back before verse 23 and get the context, first of all, you're going to reach back. Well, I mean, you'll have to go all the way back to verse 1, but we're not going to go there. We don't have time. Let's just go back and deal with verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Paul is hooking up sanctification in verse 23 with that. And reaches back to what has been said. He reaches into verse 16 and says, rejoice evermore. You know who's a rejoicing people? A sanctified people. People that's interested in sanctification, my friend, it will be that crowd that'll rejoice. You get a carnal crowd and you preach about Jesus till you fall over in the floor and pass out or die of old age, they'll never rejoice. Carnal people won't rejoice. People that'll rejoice evermore is people that's interested in sanctification and holiness and purity. Amen, amen. Mark it down, friend. You go to a church service, it don't matter if it's at RBT and it's dead. Guess what? That's not God. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls the Spirit of God the Spirit of life. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Unto an inheritance, undefiled, and so forth. A rejoicing people are a people that's interested in righteousness. Ain't but one thing, brother, will kill spirituality, and that's sin. Yes, amen. Come on in here. Let's talk a little bit. Amen. Sin's the only thing that'll grieve God and quench the Spirit and put deadness in the house of God. The Holy Spirit's not producing that. The politicians are not producing that. The heathens on the street are not producing deadness at the house of God. That's God's people, my friend, that's been fooling around with the flesh and sin that week. Say amen right there. I know that ain't popular, but I'm not interested in being popular. Amen. That's right, I preach my goozle out, friend, to people that don't want nothing in a lot of places. That's the truth, amen. Preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and people gets mad and everything else. God ain't in that. God ain't in that. But I'm talking about the word of connection. And reaches back and says, rejoice evermore. What's this right here? The next verse says, pray without ceasing. You know what Paul is doing? Paul is putting on one side sanctification and reaching out back on the other side of the word and hooking up with your prayer life. No praying, no purity. Amen. You can't be interested in talking to a holy God unless there's at least a little element of holiness in your life. Amen. Amen. You know what will revitalize your prayer life? Be interested in sanctification. Amen. In fact, pray about it. Pray without ceasing. Good thing to pray about is pray about purity in your life. Pray about sanctification in your life. Pray about convictions in your life. Pray about some standards in your life. Amen. A lot of people don't have any personal convictions anymore. They kindly adapt whatever the church standard is. But then as soon as they get mad at the preacher, that changes. Or as soon as they get a job transfer, that changes. Or as soon as they have to move and get a new address, that all changes. Amen. But it's not that you're supposed to have preacher standards and the church standards. You're supposed to have your own personal standards. You should know what's right and wrong in your own heart. Amen. You ought to have already made some commitments to God yourself. Amen. That's right. I mean, I had it. Mom and Daddy, buddy, had some standards at the house. Amen. I mean, they had their standards. Music we listened to, clothes we wear, and everything. I mean, we had some standards at the house. And I rebelled against them until I got saved. Amen. I rebelled until I got saved. And then watch this. God saved me, Brother John. God called me to preach. And I moved to South Carolina. Out of sight of Mom and Daddy. But not out of sight of my Heavenly Father. And I didn't have parental convictions. Amen. I didn't have North Carolina convictions. I didn't have Rosman, North Carolina conviction. I want to tell you, when I moved to South Carolina, and listen, those things that God worked in my heart, and when He saved me and thereafter, my friend went with me. Are you listening? And I went into a church down there, the pastor, my friend, that didn't want nothing. Especially nothing of what I was preaching. If I tiptoe through the tulips, everything was fine. But if I dealt with separation and sanctification, what I'm preaching tonight, my friend, you could count on it. It was going to be war. But I wasn't about to change because I didn't have positional standards that just went with the pulpit. I had personal standards. And I told them when they voted on me, I said, look, if I'm voted in as pastor, this is coming with me. Are you listening? Before I came up here, just shortly before I came up here, I was preaching in a church, Temple Baptist Church, I probably shouldn't mention the name, I'll just generalize it, in South Carolina. And they was looking at me about pastoring, and I thought we were going. Me and my wife both thought we was probably going to that church. Little old small church on Jailhouse Hill. I should have known better. A church that close to the jail, I knew there's some connection there somehow. Well, everything was fine until they got to set me down. They said, all right, Richard, just talk to us. And I said, well, here it is. Here's the way it is. If I come in and I'll be your pastor, this is it right here. Amen? Amen? I didn't tell them how they were going to live at their house, how they were going to dress their house. But I said, on church property, this is the way it's going to be. On church activities, this is the way it's going to be. And brother, I didn't have to say much more. I knew the jig was up. I knew that I wasn't going to that church. But I'm not compromising to go to that church or to stay at this church. Amen? I'm telling you, when I come to Rogersville, and that's one main reason why I didn't go to Temple there in South Carolina is because God wanted me in Rogersville. There's no doubt about that. Amen? But the same thing was true when I came here. I said, look, if I come in as pastor, this is it. This is the way it is. Amen? And I got voted in 100%. And some of the very people that voted for me, knowing how I stand and believe, my friend turned on me later on. Amen? I guess they thought I was kidding. But I wasn't kidding. Still ain't kidding. Amen? I'm interested, my friend, in as God is, in sanctification. God is hooked up. I don't mean to preach on all these. But God hooks up sanctification with that word "and" to the word "pray without ceasing." Look at here. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a connection. I'm not going to preach on it, but there's a connection between gratitude and godliness. Amen. Hello? Take out your little pen, click it, and write that in your Bible. Amen? That's right. God hooks up gratitude with godliness. I said I wasn't going to preach on it, but can't help but hit it a lick. Amen. A person that's not interested in godliness is an ungrateful somebody. Amen. Because I want to be godly, not to go to heaven, but to honor the one that saved me and to say to God, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Well, glory. That's good. And then he hooks it up and connects it, verse 19, to quench not the spirit. Quench has the idea of a fire. To quench a fire means you put it out. Are you listening? So he's hooking up. Listen, y'all, come on. We're still in the house. We're still in the house. Are you listening? And amen. Well, I started to comment on something there, but I ain't going to. Amen. But he says here, quench not the Spirit. Rather, there's a connection between sanctification and the work of and ministry of the Spirit of God as a fire. If you want the Spirit of God's fire to burn hot and bright in your life personally, in your home and in our church, my friend, it's going to come in connection with holiness and purity. I mean, you can't see. Listen, if you look through the Old Testament, brother, God hooks up purity with fire, holiness with fire, and sanctification with fire. God says that to live an unsanctified life, my friend, is what suppresses the fire of the Spirit of God. It's what quenches the Spirit of God and hinders Him. Amen. Now, you won't get that message off the television. I promise you that. Amen. They say to have fire and revival, you got to go along to get along. You got to dress like the world, be like the world, and be whirling your music. Amen. I'm not for that. I'm old-fashioned to the core. I'm old-fashioned to the bone. Amen. Past the bone. Beyond the bone. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Y'all look at me like, preacher, you've been preaching out a whole lot. Maybe I hope you got another revival. No, I don't. I'm preaching in the house. Amen. We're in the house. We're in RBT. Last time I checked a minute ago, I'm in the pulpit where I pastor. And you're here and God's got us here. Hey, we need fire. We need the Spirit of God's fire. We don't need a false fire. We don't need a fake fire. I'm against that. I'm against wildfire. I'm not interested in emotionalism. I'm against that as much as I am deadness. But we don't have to have the either or. We can have the Spirit of God, my friend, and the fire of the Holy Ghost, but it's connected to sanctification. Well, glory. Amen. Quench not the spirits. Connected, my friend, in the context to sanctification. Well, preacher, I wish I was on fire. I wish I was on fire, preacher. Well, what is it in your life God's put His finger on and you keep saying, no, 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 don't touch that. Get out of that area of my life. Amen. Huh? You can't help it, friend. I'm telling you, there's not enough devils, there's not enough demonic forces of hell itself, my friend, to keep you from being on fire if you get interested in sanctification. Amen. 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 I feel pretty good about that. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us if we'll deal with sin, if we'll deal with issues in our life. My friend, guess what? Brother, God will set you on fire. God will set you on fire. Well, I'm glad these kids are right here. I mean that. I'm glad you've come. Shake my hand. There you go. Do like it right there. Amen. I am glad y'all come today. Amen. And all of you, I appreciate y'all coming. Because I want them to know that all preachers are not liberals. I want them to know that all churches, my friend, have not gone to the dogs. And my friend, selling the gospel out cheap. I want them to know, brother, there's still a church and there's still a preacher that loves them. My friend is willing to preach to them the truth. Amen. 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 But He hooks it up. We're not through yet. Are y'all listening? I told y'all probably wouldn't get off of point one. The connection, the word of connection, and He reaches back. Can I give you another one? Look at verse 20. Oh, come on now. Despise not prophesying. Amen. Show me somebody that don't like preaching and I'll show you somebody that don't like purity. He says, and after having said, despise not prophesying. Amen. Your attitude toward preaching. Listen, you ought to want to go to church that'll have preaching in it that'll challenge your life. Amen. Amen. Go to the doctor and there's something in your life that's killing you. You want him to leave it alone? Go to it. Let me repeat that. Maybe I need to slow it down. Some of you think it's nap time. I didn't get a nap this evening. Oh, did I want one? Did I need one? Yeah. But I stayed in there with God and I got a direction for the service tonight. And ain't no doubt we're on target. Amen. On target. Amen. Where was we at? I lost my train of thought. We got to talk about that target. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, brother. Y'all stay with me. Y'all got to help me now. Amen. The Bible did say comfort's a feeble mind. Y'all have to help me now. Amen. Amen. I'm guilty. That's right. There's feeble. I promise you. Amen. That verse was for me. Comfort the feeble minded. Amen. So y'all stay with me. Help me. But you go to a doctor and the doctor says, look, now this right here in your life is killing you. What are you going to do? Get mad at the doctor? So I'm not coming back to see you no more. No, you trust the doctor and deal with whatever it is. Amen. But we go to church, the preacher preaches, and the Spirit of God uses the preaching and the Word of God to deal with hearts and deal with specifics and deal with particulars in their life. And you know what? They said, don't touch that. Get away from that. Now get mad at the preacher.
Come on, preacher. You're right.
Amen. How many of you have got a bucket of rocks out there next to your mailbox? I don't. Whatever gets put in my mailbox, if it's got my name on it, I open it. Do I like it? No. Especially when I open one that says you owe. Especially if I open one that says a bill. But if it's got my name on it, I'm not going to say, get me some rocks and throw at the mailman, the mail carrier. Get out of here! What are you doing putting that in my mailbox? No. They didn't create the mail. They're just delivering it. That's what the preacher is. He's not creating it. He didn't write the Bible. He's just delivering the mail. Amen. Well, amen. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. What is the connection between that which is good and that which is godly? Verse 22, we could preach the rest of the night on. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why, preacher? Why should I do that? Because how something looks gives a message to how you live. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it even looks wrong, don't even give a look that's wrong. Are you listening? I like chewing on straws. Or used to. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I could get through drinking my drink, you know, I'd chew on that straw till I got to thinking one day it kind of looked like something else sticking out of my mouth going down the road. And some of my beloved friends in Rogersville wouldn't think, there goes Preacher Rackley with a straw in his mouth. No, they'll get on the telephone and on Facebook and they'll say, you know what, I saw Preacher Rackley with his smoking the other day. Are you listening? You say, well, it's none of their business. Oh yeah, the Bible said abstain from appearance of evil. Amen. Amen. I'm interested in how it looks. It don't matter if there's something, anything wrong with it. That ain't the issue. I want to keep my testimony where it needs to be of how it looks. Ask yourself, how does this look to sinners? How does it look to see if they see me going into this place? How does it look? Amen. Are you listening? I could take a lady. If just say for just a scenario, a lady needed to go to Walmart from over here, I wouldn't pick her up and put her in my car if I was by myself. I won't go into her house if I'm visiting, knock on the door. But so I won't even go in their house if their husband or children is not there. Because I don't, you say, preacher, nothing's going on. But I don't even want nobody to drive by and say, you know what, I saw Brother Rackley when so-and-so's husband was at work, I saw him going in their house the other night. And you think everybody's going to say, well, he's going in there to pray? Oh, he's going in there to witness? No. Them long-tongued gossipers and spreading discord, my friend, they'll attach every lie and every false imagination. And next thing you know, Preacher Rackley's ruined. You better be interested in how things look, amen? You better be interested in how things look. Because how things look sends a message. Say amen right there. You young people, you need to watch yourself. You should never put yourself in any questionable situations. You should never put yourself in any situation or any place that would give somebody the opportunity to question your morals or question your religious spirituality. They should never say, I wonder what's going on in there. You should never be alone. You should never be by yourself alone. Say amen right there. Amen. Devil always works in solitude. Devil always works when he gets you by yourself. He got Eve away from Adam, got her alone, and talked her into a fall. Amen. Amen. Samson. One of the most powerful threats to the enemy, the Philistines, my friend, went from hero to zero because he got by himself with a sorry no-count woman. Say amen right there, buddy. That's right. You better watch how things look. That's right. Well, I could preach right there. Some of you can't take much more. I can see that. But if you're interested in your testimony, and here's the thing. Let me boil it down right here real quick. Are you listening? Here's the reason why you should want to watch how things look. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Not the action, just if it even looks like it's wrong. Abstain from it, because why? Your actions ultimately reflect back on who you say you belong to. Your actions, what people thinks about you will reflect back on your Savior. And I don't want to give Him any kind of a blemish. Well, amen. And. So we preached on and. And. Yes, amen. See, and. The word of connection. The very God of peace is the word of that speaks of control. Sanctification is a control issue. Who is in charge and who is controlling your life? That's where sanctification comes from. Who is it that's wanting to be in control of your life? Read it right there in that verse. Would you help me with it? Well, thank God for all this response. The God of peace. God doesn't just hook up peace. God hooks up peace with purity. The God of peace, the God that will fill your life with peace, my friend, when He sees that you are interested in Him working sanctification in you and in your life. And then look here, the word of completeness. And the very God of peace sanctify you, what's the next word? Holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning entirely. Entirely, amen. Completely, in every part, absolutely, in all respects. Amen. The word of completeness. And we're going to stop there, but God's Word says, and I'm just going to read the verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole... Now notice this. Notice, I just noticed something. Paul prayed for God to do it. May the God of, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. Paul was recognized right there something. He said sanctification is not a preacher issue. It's not my business to do it. God is to do it. I'm to pray about it. I'm to preach it. But God is to do the work. Amen. Amen. I used to take on the other part. I used to enforce it. Say, well, it's my business to enforce it. Now, when it comes to church, I think I can. Are you listening? But I'm talking about you being responsible at your house and in your life and be personally responsible for your own spirituality and your sanctification and your purity. Amen. Well, when will it be over? When's the finish? When's the culmination of it? That you be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. You know what the whole deal behind sanctification is? Is getting you ready to leave here. Amen. You ought to be interested in your life now compared to what your life is going to be later. That sounds good to me. Amen. I've asked this question before and I'm done. What is it in your life? What are you after? What are you trying to find excitement in? What is it in this life that excites you? And then number two, will any of that be in heaven? See, if God is sanctifying you wholly in your life, my friend, is getting its thrills and getting its peace and getting its joy off of the fact that you're being brought day by day into a likeness of God, when the grave comes and death comes, nothing will interrupt that. You'll just be promoted from an earthly to the heavenly. Because we're headed to a sanctified land, brother. God, through sanctification, is trying to get us ready to leave. Amen. Let's all stand our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.